Today, we have a special message for you. What do you do after prayer and fasting? Now, before I do that, let me just give you a short announcement. This January 25-26, there will be a leadership conference. And one of our guest speakers is Dr. Chuck Mitzler. Dr. Chuck Mitzler, a CEO of many Fortune 500 companies. And he is an expert in national security. He's a consultant with the Department of Defense. So he has a science background. He's gonna talk about the Bible, why it cannot be man-made, why it is from God. It's an amazing presentation. Therefore, I encourage you, if you want God to use you, you want to be trained, you buy the ticket, it's only 250 pesos. If you want to be a small group leader, if you are a small group leader already, you also sign up. Now, there will be a special dinner that is costing 2,000 pesos on a Thursday night. If you have friends who are executive, CEOs, and you think they need to hear the gospel, you bring them there. But don't go yourself if you are not bringing any people who are not yet followers of Jesus. In other words, if you want to hear him, you don't go on a Thursday night. You come here on Friday and Saturday. Thursday night is only for people who are not yet committed followers of Jesus. Comprende? Sí. And it's very limited. Are you ready to listen to God? Turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor, are you ready? All right. If you are ready, why don't we stand up and pray? All right? Let us ask God to speak to all of us. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to finish 1 week of prayer and fasting. What a joy it is to see thousands and thousands of people gathered, not just in St. Francis, but all over the satellite churches. It is my prayer that CCF will be prayerful, that we will learn to depend upon you. We now pray for our country. Lord, as we have prayed in the past during the fasting week, we pray for revival, we pray for economic recovery, but above all, we pray for our President, President Aquino, and the Chief Justice, and all the other leaders, the senators, the congressmen, that you will expose the graft and corrupt people, change the corrupt culture of this country, and be the one to transform this country into a righteous nation. Help your leaders love this country more than they love themselves. And we pray for our new worship training center that's going to be completed very soon. Help us to move in at the best time, Lord. You know our prayer desires. And we pray for the prayer mountain that we can indeed use it by the end of March so that we can use it for retreats. And now I pray for everybody here this afternoon and those who are watching us in the internet live telecast, those of us who are hurting, those of us who are discouraged, will you speak to us this morning? Lord Jesus, we need you. Guide us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please sit down. I'm excited to read for you a passage of Scripture that will blow your mind. But before I blow your mind, I want you to see a short video of what God is not. What God is not. All right? Let's see that video.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Puny god.
And that is our problem. Some of you have a god that is small. And that's why you are worried all the time. That's why you are not rested. And that's why we are not prayerful. Because your theology is not right. Most of us develop a concept of God based on our past, based on our religion, based on our experiences. Today I want to share with you why you should continue prayer and fasting. Just because it is the end of our 1 week of prayer and fasting, I don't want you to stop. In fact, I want you to continue doing it. All of us have decided every Monday, all the pastors have decided every Monday we will fast and pray. I want you to join us. Start 1 day a week. Someday you might want to do it 2 days a week. Amen? So you join us. You fast and pray. Exception tomorrow. You want to eat tomorrow because you are so thin already? That's fine. Next, fasting and praying will no longer be on Wednesday morning. We will bring it down to the level of small group. So every week, the small group will pray. And once a month, the small group will fast and pray. And once a month, on the same day, the small group will do Lord's Supper. So we are bringing what we do to the level of small group. Comprende? Problem. I don't belong to any small group. Solution. Simple. Join a small group. And when you join a small group, you ask God to help you find a good one and that you become a blessing. You must join a small group with the mindset of how can I bless the people. Don't just go there, I want to be blessed. No, no. Learn to meet people. I suggest if you are young, join a younger group. If you are young, less than 20, don't join the seniors group. You might not relate. Comprende? Now, what kind of a God do we have? Are you ready? All right. If you don't mind, turn to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read that for you, but let's give respect to the Word of God. Why don't we all stand up and read the Scripture together? Everybody, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. This is an amazing verse. Paul is telling the people, we have an amazing God. And before this verse, he talks about that you will understand the love of God, that your minds will be open, that your spiritual eyes will be open, so that you will realize how great God is. Now, let me share with you how great God is. Everybody, read this one more time. Now, to Him who is able to do. He could have stopped there. The word able to do means dynamite. In the Greek language, dunamis. God has all power to blast away your problem. He could have stopped here. Now to Him who is able to do. No, no, no. He continued. Far more. Let's read that together now. Now to Him who is able to do far more. Now He could have stopped there. He didn't. Far more what? Abundantly. Now, this far more abundantly is a combination of three Greek words. Hooper, ek, perizo. Hooper means what? Over. More. Ek. Ek means to intensify the meaning. And perizo is beyond measure. So, this is the superlative of the superlative. So let's read this together now. Now, to Him, referring to God, now to God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. Oh, He could have stopped there. No, no, no. He wants to make sure you understand who God is. Everybody, all that we ask. He could have stopped there. No, no, no. He said, everybody, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. This is referring to God's people. God is saying that power is available for you, provided you know how to avail of this power. And then he ended with an amazing statement, which I will read to you. He basically said, "Hallelujah! To God be the glory." Can you memorize this together with me? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. The God of how much more? Is your God great? Is he big?
Yes.
You have problems?
Yes.
Is your problem big?
No.
You are amazing. You know theology. Big God, small problem. Small God, big problem. Now you begin to understand. Would you like to sit down now? All right, good. I've been standing the whole day, all right? The God of the how much more. Say that with me. The God of the how much more. Application, do not limit God. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, do not limit God. How do we limit God? There are many ways we limit God. For example, I won't discuss it this morning. Example, sin. Sin will definitely limit God. The Bible says if there is sin in your heart, God will not answer your prayer. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about how we limit God by our rebellion, our willfulness. No, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about some other barriers, some other problems that will limit God, and you may not even realize it. Are you ready? Two stories. One in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament, on how you and I limit the amazing power of God. What's my proof that you and I limit God's power all the time? Just look at Christians today. Maybe except CCFers, okay? But there are many Christians. You look at their lives. They are overwhelmed by problems, overwhelmed by circumstances. You see bitterness in their heart. You see unforgiveness. You don't see joy. The best test is you look at their family members, you ask their children, how are your parents? And you ask the parent, how are your children? Now, most of us are not experiencing the fullness of God's amazing plan. You and I, you live below what God can do for you. Very sad. God wants you to have the abundant life. He promised, I came that you might have life and have it what? Abundantly. But most of us, full of worry, anxiety, depressed. I want to share with you how to overcome this problem. Would you like to learn? Do not limit God. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, don't limit God. Now, how do you limit God? Are you ready? All right. Story number one, Mark chapter 9. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. When they came back from where? Mark chapter 9 tells us Jesus brought three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain. In that mountain, Jesus was transformed. The Bible says his face shone like the sun. His clothes were so bright. This is called the transfiguration. The whole purpose of Jesus when he was on earth, one of which is to train the disciples that they may know him. And the way for them to know him, he brought three of them to the mountain. And he was changed. They got a shock of their lives. The face begins to shine like the sun. What was Jesus doing? Jesus is saying, I am not just your teacher. I am not just your prophet. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God. With that amazing experience, they came down. Now, this is the story now. When they came down, there were nine disciples waiting for Jesus. And this is what happened. Continue reading. He asked them, there was a problem. Look at verse 15. Immediately, the entire crowd saw him. They were amazed. He asked them, what are you discussing? There was a commotion. And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with the spirit, which makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at his mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. Now, my wife and I have seen this kind of cases, okay? Demon possessed in CCF. They move like snake. So this is nothing unusual. So the father has a problem. I told your disciples to cast it out. They could not. There was a problem. What was the problem? They could not. So who was disappointed? The father. Who else was disappointed? The disciples. Can you imagine how embarrassing it is? Disappointment is always God's opportunity to show you what he can do. So when you are disappointed with people, just remember, disappointment is God's opportunity to show to you what he can do. Now, that's the problem. And he answered and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" In other words, we limit God with unbelief. One of the reasons you will learn today is you limit God with unbelief. What does it mean, unbelief? I'm going to discuss that in a short while. Another reason why we limit God, he asked his father, "How long has this been happening?" And the father said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." I want you to imagine the father with only one son. If you read the book of Matthew and Luke, it says the only son. The father had one son. And the son was having this problem since childhood. I can predict, if you are a father or the mother, you will be discouraged. Do you know how you limit God? You limit God when you give up. When you give up too soon, you know the father could have stopped and not see Jesus anymore. You know why? In Tagalog, how do you say discouraged in Tagalog? Tagalog, how do you say na discouraged? Na walang loob na. I know the Chinese version of this. Chin sim. Chin sim means your heart is cold. You don't have excitement anymore. There are many people who feel like giving up. You have been asking people to pray for you. You ask the pastor to pray for you. You ask your fellow believers to pray for you. But the problem is not solved. And because you're discouraged, you feel like giving up. Some of you are about to give up. Don't do that. When you are discouraged and you quit, you limit what God can do in you and through you. Don't quit. Another reason why how we limit God's power. Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." May I suggest you pray this prayer? This is probably the most honest prayer you will find in the Bible. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You know, most of us, sometimes we doubt. You know, I look at my Christian life. Oftentimes, I pray this prayer, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Say that with me. Pray that prayer right now. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." See, sometimes your problem is so overwhelming. And you feel like even God will have a hard time. Yes or no? Be honest. You pray, "Lord, I cannot handle this problem." I know parents, they are really overwhelmed with their children. Because their children have grown up. And their children are not walking with the Lord. How do you change adults? You cannot. What do you say? "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The secret is prayer. When you don't pray, you limit God's blessing. He prayed to Jesus. When Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. When we cast out demons, we say the same thing, except we say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this person and never enter this person again. I've done that a couple of times, and I have something to tell you. There are no demons that can withstand the power of God, the power of Jesus. You know why? After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. There are no problems, no demons, no spirits that can withstand the name of Jesus. The only problem is, do you have Jesus? If you don't have Jesus, useless to say in the name of Jesus. It happened years ago in the book of Acts. Somebody was claiming the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. You know what the demon said? The demon said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? So the demons attacked the person claiming the name of Jesus. So my advice to you, you better make sure you know Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you start casting out demons, we might make a movie out of you. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be scary. Okay? My suggestion is don't be afraid of the devil if you have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, that's a problem. When he came into the house, that his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? Is there a limit to your power? Jesus said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Therefore, you and I limit God when we are prayerless. When you don't pray, you limit God. And I submit to you, your theology about God impacts your prayer life. If you don't understand that God wants us to be dependent upon Him, that nothing is impossible with God, you will not keep on praying. Do you know why most of you stop praying? Because you feel in Tagalog, wala naman nangyari. You are discouraged. No. You keep praying. Let me ask you a question. If God can do anything, if nothing is impossible with God, and He does not answer your prayer, what's the reason? Last Sunday, were you here? What did the Bible say? Our Father, if you ask for a bread, will He give you a snake? If you ask for egg, will He give you a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give you what is good? So my answer to you is this. If God can do anything for you, through you, why are prayers not answered sometimes? People come to me, how come my mother died? How come I lost this business? How do you answer that? The God of the how much more. Let me tell you the answer. The problem is never with God. The problem is with us. God is never limited. But if He does not answer your prayer, you can be assured. If you follow all the principles properly and He still does not answer your prayer, you can be assured God has something better. Because God loves you. God is a Father. So don't stop praying. Don't give up. And this is what Jesus was saying. And the disciples, there are many forms of unbelief. Example, let's read this. He appointed the 12 so that they would be with Him, that He could send them out to preach and to have authority. Jesus gave them authority to cast out demons. What was the problem? They were depending on the authority and not depending on Jesus. You see, unbelief does not mean you don't believe. The disciples believe in Jesus. The disciples believe in God. But Jesus said, unbelieving generations. Why? A distorted faith is an evidence of unbelief. You don't believe properly. That's why it's called unbelief. You are depending on yourself, and you're not depending on the Lord. And that's why Jesus said, everybody, let's read this together. He said he could do no miracle there except he laid his hands on a few sick people, healed them. He wondered at their what? Unbelief. Because belief, faith, impacts God's power in your life. So there are many reasons why we limit God's power. Unbelief, major one. Next one, you give up too soon. Another one, ignorance. Let's read this together. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What does that mean, this kind? Jesus is talking about another class of demons. And he's saying, you need to fast and pray. Our ignorance in spiritual warfare will limit what God can do in your life. Don't limit God by your ignorance. Let's read this together. Everybody, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, before you continue, what is flesh and blood? Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you are flesh and blood. Tell your neighbor, I am flesh and blood. The Bible says our struggle, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers, hierarchy of evil forces, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Most of us are ignorant of the reality of spiritual warfare. And most of us think the real world is the physical world. Listen to me. The physical world will someday be gone. But the spiritual world will continue on. You need to realize there is a warfare. And the enemy is not flesh and blood. Look at that verse one more time. Our struggle, our fighting is not what? Against flesh and blood. So turn to your neighbor, okay? If you are living, if you are with your husband, your wife, your family, tell your neighbor, you are not my enemy. Now, who's our enemy? Satan, the demons. The demons will use people. And you begin to think people are your enemies. No. We struggle not against flesh and blood. This has helped me a lot. When I see people acting not in the right way, I don't make them my enemies. They are not my enemies. They are being used by the devil. But if you are not aware of the reality of the spiritual world, you fall victim again and again. You know, I like what Manny Pacquiao said when he was knocked down. He said three things. I was overconfident, I was careless, and I didn't see it coming. And most of us are overconfident. You don't realize you have an enemy that is far stronger than you and I. And that's why your theology will help you whether you will pray or not. The older I get in the faith, the more prayerful I have become. The more I know the Bible, the more I have experienced, the more I'm forced to go down on my knees. I tell the Lord, I need you every day. Because I'm aware of the war that's going on today that human eyes don't see, but it is real. No wonder the Apostle Paul ended Ephesians 6 with an amazing advice to solve this spiritual warfare. How do you solve spiritual warfare? Ephesians 6, 18, 19. Everybody read, with all prayer and petition. Pray during prayer fasting week? Or pray what? All the time. Be on the alert. Why? There's a war going on. with all perseverance, don't give up. Petition for some of the saints. No, pray for who? Louder. All the saints. Who are the saints? If you study the Bible, it is very clear. No debate. The word saints always refer to the living, to God's people. Because you have Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. And the Bible says, because of Jesus, your sins are completely washed away. You are a saint. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are a saint. Then tell your neighbor, are you acting like one? That is the problem. You are a saint, but are you acting like one? So don't think of yourself as a sinner. You are no longer a sinner. You are saved by grace. You are a saint who occasionally sin. But you have no business sinning because you are already a saint. Paul says, pray for all the saints. And then continue. And to pray on. Amazing. Paul is saying, hey guys, I need prayer. I always tell our pastors, and I tell the church all the time, if you hear me here, if you want to do something for me, I have one request. Pray for me. Pray for our family. Can I repeat that request? All right. Everybody, will you pray for me? Every day? Promise. No, seriously. I feel the power of God when you guys pray for me. I don't know how to explain this. But I thank God. I thank God for your prayers. It's because of your prayers that I sustain my life. So promise, pray for me. All right. Louder, will you pray for me? The Bible will hold you responsible. God is saying you promise. No wonder we need to pray. Let's read this together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. That they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. How in the world can you become captive of the devil to do his will? Unless you are deceived by the devil. You see, the word snare is he has you in his grasp. You are trapped. And the way to set up a trap is to make it not look like a trap. So you are doing the will of the devil without knowing it is the will of the devil. Let me give you an example. Example, your wife is out of the country. Or you travel abroad. Or you went to the province. And there's a pretty lady. And you got attracted to the lady. Are you listening to me? Or in your office, an attractive man or attractive woman, and you decide, you know what? I'm going to have some relationship with this person. In your mind, because you have problems with your husbands, with your wives, in your mind, by doing that, it's going to make you happy. Yes or no? Of course. I tell you, will the devil tell you, good morning, Buka, I want you to know something. I've arranged a girl, and I'm deceiving her also. You will have a relationship with her. And after 10 years, your marriage will be messed up. After 15 years, your children will learn to hate you. After 20 years, you will be old alone and your life will be destroyed. Therefore, follow me. Will you follow him? No. You know why? The devil will never tell you happy now may not mean happy later on. He's a deceiver. So why do you think people commit sin? The Bible says there is a reality. Our enemy is who? Satan. So most young people, because they don't have experience, they are deceived. They think this is the best way. Let's get involved in drugs. Let's get involved with all kinds of vices. Pretty soon, what do they discover? I am trapped. I cannot get out of it. Do you realize how many people are enslaved to sex, pornography, depression, all kinds of problems? Who is controlling them? They will never know this. Now, these are the extreme. If you live in a developed country, they will tell you, this guy has a psychological problem. They don't believe in the devil. So they will never tell you that the solution is spiritual deliverance, Jesus. They will never tell you that. But if you come from certain countries, like tribal places, everywhere you go, you see demons. You know why? The demons want to scare you. So beware of two extremes. Don't leave this service. And then when you look at your husband or your wife, demonio, demonio. No, no. At the same time, don't go to the extreme that when you see problem, you think it is just psychological, you think it is just human problem. No, no, no. You pray. You come to the Lord. That's how I pray for people. I say, Lord, if this problem is caused by demons, in the name of Jesus, deliver this person. So, how do we limit God? Many times, prayerlessness. Why do you not pray? You are ignorant. And ignorance is a problem. You limit God by your ignorance. You know, I'm reminded of the story of an old Indian. He used to be a soldier. And then, when he was old, he began to beg. He was begging for bread. He went to a detachment, and there were a group of officers, and they said, what can we do for you? He said, I'm hungry. So they gave him bread, and he began to devour the bread. Now, this is a true story. Then they look at his necklace. There was a necklace, beautiful color, and there was a pouch. And they say, let me look at the pouch. And they got the pouch. They opened it. It was a letter. It was a piece of paper. A regular military discharge paper saying that you will receive pension for the rest of your life, signed by no other than General George Washington. Look at this guy. He was begging. No money. He was given a pension for life, but he never availed of it. Why? Ignorance. And most of us are ignorant of God's promises. You are ignorant of how God's economy works. You are not even aware of the enemies. You what? Limit God by ignorance. There is no excuse for ignorance. May I suggest you read the Bible. And that's why I tell everybody in January, what is my challenge? Read the entire Bible. 15 minutes a day. I guarantee you. If you are a slow reader, 20 minutes a day. By the end of December, man, you have read the entire Bible. I am now, believe it or not, because of this fasting and prayer, I'm advanced. I am now in the book of Exodus. It's only January 13. Now, we are not having a contest, understand? I'm not saying, oh, pabilisan, no. No, no. Between you and God, may I advise you, read the truth, read the Word of God, so that you will not be ignorant. Most of you have read the entire Bible, I know. Keep reading. Because knowing God is through His Word. Knowing His promises is through His Word. Do you feel like giving up at times? May I suggest, don't give up. Satan wants to limit God's power in your life. So he makes you what? Unbelieving. You think your problem is so big. So you become prayerless. And you become discouraged. Do you know George Mueller prayed for 5 people for 52 years? 52 years. The longest I prayed for people is 20 years. 20. I prayed for somebody for 20 years. And I praised God. A miracle happened. George Mueller, 50 years for 5 people to come to Jesus. You know why that is so important? Many times, the Bible tells us, we are in a spiritual warfare. And if you don't pray for people, they won't see. After 1 year, his friend came to know the Lord, one of the friends. After 10 years, two came to Jesus. This is non-stop, everyday prayer. After 25 years, the fourth one came to know Jesus. After 52 years, the fifth one came. George Mueller died after 52 years. And when he died, his friend did not yet come to know Jesus. But his friend came to know Jesus after he died. Are you praying for people? Don't give up. Keep praying. If God does not answer now, don't limit him. Perhaps there are reasons why he's not answering your prayer. Am I correct? Why do you think God allows us to go through pain? If you ask me, I grow most during troubled times. I learn to be dependent. My character is transformed. So don't give up. Keep praying. But you know how we really limit God? You'll be amazed at how sometimes we make crazy decisions. Let's read this together. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets came out to Elisha. Your servant, my husband is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Here was the real problem. Imagine a wife losing the husband. You become a widow. And then, no financial support. You end up in debt. And pretty soon, they want to collect and you cannot pay. Now they want to sell your two children. That is the practice in those days. No protection for debtor. So this woman had a problem. Perhaps some of you identify with this. You are having financial problem, a problem with your husband. I don't know what's your problem, but I want to tell you something. God is able to help you. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house. I have nothing except what? A jar of oil." Now, I don't know how big the jar is, okay? "I have only a jar of oil." That's how poor she was. She cannot sell anything anymore. Elisha said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from," underline the word, "from all your neighbors." Empty vessels. Do not get a few. Don't get a few. Get a lot. "You shall go in, shut the door behind you, your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So from one jar of oil, you get all the empty vessels and keep pouring. And she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. As they bring in the vessels, she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." He said to her, "There is no one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Notice, when did the oil stop? When there was no more vessel. She came and told the man of God. He said, "It's done. No more vessels." The man of God said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on the rest." Do you understand the lesson of this story? You limit God when you don't listen, when you don't cooperate with him. I want you to imagine now. Imagine. You have six vessels. Okay? You got six empty vessels. Imagine. You pour. On the sixth one, finish. Now Elisha said, "All right, sell all you have. Pay the debt and live with the rest." It took you 5 jars of oil to pay the debt. After you have paid the debt, how many jars of oil left for you? How many? One. What would have happened if she worked harder? She got 10 vessels. How much vessel do you need to pay off the debtor, the creditor? 5. How much do you have left? 5. What if she was very, very diligent? She got 100 vessels. How much do you need to pay off the creditor? 5. How much do you have left? 95. With that 95, what can you do with your retirement pay? Go to Boracay. Go to five-star hotel. Because you know why? Your pension is overwhelming. What's my point? You and I limit God when you don't listen very well. The instruction is this. Go. Get everybody if possible. Get empty vessels. Don't get a few. Get a lot. Now, for some of us, we give excuses. We say, kalokohan yan. What a crazy instruction. You know, I've seen this again and again. When husband and wife comes to us for counseling, and we will tell them, all right, you have a problem with your husband, you have a problem with your wife. Our principle is this. In order to experience God's power, listen to me now, you do your part. Let God do His part. And God's part is anything that is outside your control. You can only control what you can control yourself. So if you're a husband and wife, you have a problem with your husband or your wife, what's within your control? What's your temper? What's your tongue? But to change your husband, whose responsibility is it? God. You got problem with your parents, you got problem with your children, you do your part. You let God do His part. But you know, in my experience, most of them, not most, but some will say, I know. You want me to be nice to my husband? He will abuse me. He will take advantage of me. You want to be nice to my wife? You know what? You do it your way. And you limit God's power. When we counsel people, we tell them the ways of the Lord. And I've seen many people don't listen to the ways of God. You know why? Because you think you are smarter. You and I think God's idea is crazy. So we disobey Him. You don't listen to Him. That's how you limit God's power in your life. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life right now that you know that God is telling you don't do it? Is there anything in your life that you know God is telling you do it, but you're not doing it? Well, at the end of your life, I feel sorry for you because you limit God. You'd have no idea what God wants to do in your life, through your life, beyond your wildest imagination. You see, our problem is this. We don't know how to ask God. Did I tell you the story of my tribal mountain experience? Years ago, my wife and I, we went to a different tribal area. We were with a new tribe's mission. I want you to imagine now, this particular tribe, they were so poor. You know what's their food? By the way, I've also been to Mindanao tribal area. Imagine their food. Fried beetles. Like ipis, okay? Beetles. And snakes. And roasted rats. Because these people are poor. Okay? And worms. Caterpillars. It tastes good also. Now, listen to me. If I invite one of the tribal boys, I invite him to Makati, I fly him in, and I bring him to the five-star hotel with the best restaurant, okay? And I ask this little boy, all right, what will you order? Do you think the boy will order a Wagyu steak? Beyond what you think or imagine, no experience. Do you think the boy will order lobster? Nah. What about Alaskan king crab? Nah. What's your favorite food? Are you still fasting now? My whole point is this. Many times we come before God and we ask for things that are not really valuable. You know why? We are so preoccupied with temporal things. And God is saying, I have so much more for you. Beyond all that you can ask or think. But you know what we ask for? Let's face it. You ask for things that are totally valueless compared to eternity, compared to what God will do for you. I have a friend who died of cancer. But before he died, I visited him in Medical City. And he asked me to stand up, and he asked me to visit the window. So we were both standing in the window, and he said, overlooking Valle Verde, he said, You see those houses? I'm willing to give all of them up just to live longer. At the end of your life, what do you think is valuable? Prestige, position, power, possessions? What do you think is important? At the end of your life, I guarantee you, it's no longer important. I asked him, I said, are you sure if you die, you'll go to heaven? And that's where I evangelize him again. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be content with what you think is precious. You need to be intimate with God. I tell my friend, if there is a God, don't you think the most important thing is how can I be prepared to meet him? If there is heaven, don't you think the most important thing is how can I prepare myself to enjoy heaven? If there is life after death, don't you think the most important thing is to prepare to live for eternity? Yes or no? It depends. If you are blinded, you think everything is in this world. This is the most important thing. My boyfriend, my sex life, this is the most important. Listen to me. You are blinded. And that's why some of you will never get excited about Jesus. You don't see. That's why you don't obey God. You don't follow his instructions. You are removing, limiting all that God has in mind for you. You know, God has something great for your life beyond your wildest imagination. But are you willing to let God use you? Do your part. I want you to hear a testimony, amazing testimony, of how God can do exceedingly above and beyond your personal experience. Are you ready to hear a good testimony? Let us welcome our brother, Ariel.
Good afternoon. This is a picture of me before I met Jesus. I believe that I was a woman trapped in a man's body. I was in third year high school when I started to grow my hair waist long and started to dress like a woman. Before my gender confusion happened, I was a good and normal boy. But when I was 7 years old, I was molested by a man. He was our landlord. I didn't tell anyone about it because of fear of what may happen. I also feared that man, but every time he would offer me candies, I would go to him. He molested me several times that it became a part of my growing up years. This caused me to believe that I was meant to be with a man. I started joining gay beauty contests in my teen years, and I usually won. I was overwhelmed with the praises that it gave me so much pride. Then, hoping to be an entertainer in Japan, I started to take drugs to lose weight. But instead of losing weight, I became a drug dependent. I was a drug addict for 10 years. I learned to steal to support my addiction. I stole from anyone, even from my family. They begged for me to change, but I was numb. I didn't care about anyone but myself. I remember when my father was in his deathbed, he was crying, begging me to change. He said that he wants to... He wants to see me live a new life before he dies. I cried and promised him that I will change, but minutes later, I went to the bathroom to use drugs once again. Time came when my family could no longer bear to see me in the life that I chose. They drove me out of the house to teach me a lesson. But instead, I turned from bad to worse. To support my addiction, I went to Ermita to be picked up by foreigners. I became a gay prostitute. With the money that I had, I was able to support my smoking, drinking, drugs, gay relationships left and right. I was happy but often cried when I was alone, depressed and feeling hopeless. At the peak of my depression, I had nowhere to turn but God. I once prayed this, God, if you are real, show me the way to you. Send me someone to lead me to the right path. Then came a time when I was feeling so tired of my life. I wanted to straighten up my life, so I cut my hair and tried to stop taking drugs and act like a real man. But it did not last very long because I tried to change on my own without God in my life. I soon went back to my old ways. This time, as a bisexual, no longer a transgender, this time I became a call boy. One day, I met someone who is bisexual like me. We had a relationship and lived together for over a year. At the latter part of our relationship, we started to experience many fights and disagreements, which caused my partner to fall into a deep depression. In search for a solution to our problem, he approached a co-worker whom he once overheard talking to someone about God. And this lady invited him to go to the house of her D group leader to hear the gospel. When he told me about it, I didn't believe him. I thought he was going to meet another man, so I insisted on going with them. When the gospel was shared, not only did my partner receive Jesus, I also received Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and Savior that day. I later realized that it was an answered prayer for me. God is so gracious. I was living a sinful life. When I asked him to show me the right way, he heard and answered me. That day was the beginning of my new life in Christ. One by one, my bad habits went away. In the same week, we both started to attend D Group and CCF Sunday worship service and made Bible reading a part of our daily lives. Jesus turned our wrong relationship and made it right. The wrong kind of love we once had for each other has turned into a brotherly love. It has been 4 years since Jesus moved me from darkness into light. Because of the new life that I now live, my family has also accepted our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. I am so grateful to God for the new faith of my family, especially my mom, who was a cult member for 10 years. God is so good and gracious. He filled my life with so much joy and peace more than I could ever imagine. I am a recipient of God's unconditional love, and because of this, I committed my life to loving Him and serving Him by sharing His word and His love to others. We all have different stories in life, and whatever your story is, only God can make things right, and only He can fill the emptiness in your life. I stand before you today as a witness that God is able to forgive whatever sin you have committed. He can lift you up from whatever mess you are in. There is a hope, and Jesus Christ is waiting for you to surrender your life to Him. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." My name is Ariel Santos. To God be all the glory.
Do not limit God. It doesn't matter what is your problem in the past. God is bigger than your past. It does not matter what your problem today, because God is always bigger than your problem. But don't limit Him with unbelief, with prayerlessness, with discouragement. with ignorance. Don't limit God with your disobedience. Cooperate with God. What's your part? Brothers, sisters, do we have an amazing God? I tell you, what a testimony. Let us pray for Ariel before I wrap up everything. Is that okay with you? So, let's pray. Lord God, I want to pray for Ariel. I pray that you protect him, that you will continue to work in his heart as you continue to transform him and use him to bring many others to your kingdom. I pray for him, for his family. I pray for his ex-live-in partner, that they will all grow and above all, protect them from sin. Protect them from pride. Protect them from doubt. And continue to bless them and use them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, would you like God to use you? Yes or no? What's your part? You do your part. One of the parts I'm suggesting right now, if you want God to use you to be part of a small group leader, like what happened to his life, somebody mentored him, he was part of a small group, I want you to sign up. Sign up for January 25-26. The tickets are very limited. You go there for training. If you are not yet a group leader, you say, I like to be trained, you sign up. If there are no more tickets, you just tell them, put my name on waitlisted, okay? But my advice is, you do something about it. We are going to praise the Lord this afternoon through the Lord's Supper. I want to ask all the D group leaders, all the small group leaders to stand up and help pass the bread and the cup. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as the bread and the cup is being passed, all of those small group leaders, you better help, okay? There are thousands of us here, including those in the outside overflow room. Listen to me. Those of you who are in the outside, please try to come in, okay? Try to come in and sit somewhere here so that you can join us with our Lord's Supper. Look at me, everybody. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? It is to remember all that God has done for us. Amen? All that God has done for us. It is a celebration. Lord's Supper simply means to remember the Lord. And as the cup is being passed, don't eat it yet. Wait for me. Don't drink it yet. Wait for me. I want you to hear a meditative song sung by the ex-live-in partner of Ariel, who is now a brother in Christ. Let's welcome him as he comes and sing.
Just a man. I know you understand this time. gotta find my way back home. So why don't you chastise me, baptize me, wash me whiter than the snow. I gotta find my way, 'cause I'm lost and alone. I've been wandering long enough to know humbly I search for you, and I am not gonna rest till you choose me, use me. Sometimes I feel so alone. Wash me whiter than the snow. I'm on my way back home. La.
For some of you, it's time to go back home. Stop limiting God. Stop running away from Him. Go back home. How many of you still don't have the bread and the cup? Raise your hands. Hallelujah. This is the most efficient service. Raise your hands if you don't have. All right. I want you to know, as we partake of the bread and partake of the cup, the Bible says this is a commemoration. Book of 1 Corinthians. You do this in remembrance of the Lord. This is called thanksgiving. You want to remember what Christ did for us. So when you take the bread, He gave His body for us, broken for us. When you partake of the cup, He shed His precious blood so that all of our sins will be forgiven. Do you realize we are forgiven because of Jesus? You are going to heaven not because of your righteousness. You are going to go to heaven because of Jesus. And that's why the life of Ariel, the life of Chris, was transformed because of Jesus. So today we commemorate Jesus. We thank Him. So pray and thank Him silently right now before I close in prayer. Why don't you thank Him from your heart? Thank Him. Thank Him that He died for you. Thank Him that He forgave your sins. Have you ever thanked Him? Why don't you do that right now? If you are living in sin, you repent. You say, Lord, I want to repent. I come to you right now. If you don't want to repent, don't partake of this. Don't partake of the cup. Don't partake of the bread. The Bible says something worse will happen to you. But if you are willing to change, to come home, please pray to Him right now. Father God, we thank You that You're reminding us when we look at the bread, it is Your body that was sacrificed for us. As we look at the cup, You're reminding me that You shed Your blood for us. Lord, I thank You that You gave Your all, that I might be forgiven. I want to thank You from my heart. We want to thank You from our hearts, Lord. We thank You for Your sacrificial love, for Your great sacrifice, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for eternal life. We now come before You with rejoicing. In Jesus' name we all pray, amen. Let's partake of the bread together. As you look at the cup, you say, Lord, thank You. You shed Your blood for me. Everybody, thank You, Lord. You shed Your blood for me. Let's Praise God.